thank the Lord for that song this morning. There's one phrase that really stood out to me, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've noticed it before. In the third verse, it says, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. You know, that's a powerful statement when you really think about it. And with the Lord's help, we'll endeavor to get to covering that point here after a moment. But I want to start out with talking about which side are we on? There's a kind of a, we'll put it this way. It's like in everything in life, you have to choose which side are you going to be on. I remember in school, there was pressures, especially when I was younger. There's pressures all the way through school. But when I was younger, it was, well, whose side are you going to be on when we get out and play at recess time? You know, are you going to be on this side or on that side? You know, because there's little cliques and little clans of different ones, you know, and I'm like, but all the way through school, that's the way it was. In college, on the job, just many things that we have to decide which side are we going to be on. And of course, it gets into things of the political realm. It's also, we got to choose those that decide to be involved in that. Then there's things more serious. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. When it comes to living for the Lord, whose side are you going to be on? So I'm going to write on the board. I've written on the board a very short question. Which side? I'll use another illustration that perhaps some of us are familiar with. There's a restaurant that you can choose to eat at, which there's another thing. Which restaurant do you want to eat at? What kind of food do you want? Which, you know. But there's a restaurant where you actually, when you walk in, you decide at the very beginning which side of the restaurant you're going to sit on. And it has to do with the north or the south. And it relates back to our American history, whether you're on the Union side or the Confederate side. And throughout the course of your dinner, there's different functions going on, and you have to give an opportunity. You have to shout and cheer and yell and scream as loud as you can to see which side is louder. And then the loudest side wins. So, but you know, the roots of that are really sad. When you think about the Civil War, you know, according to the history books, yes, the Union side won. But I'll say that was a terrible war. That literally split families apart. Literally. There were some mothers where one son went to fight on this side and the other son went to fight on that side. Or maybe the father fought over here and the son on this side. Terrible. I say, in my own words, that there really wasn't a side that won. Because both sides had great loss. And it's sad that it had to be that way. But you know, when it comes to the Lord, there is two sides. You're either on His side or you're on the opposing side. And we'll get to some scriptures here in a moment. In fact, I want to turn and read some that Jesus said in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10, verse 34. It says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, isn't that interesting? Wasn't Jesus Christ the one that was prophesied to be the Prince of Peace? Isn't that true? Yes, it is true. But you see, that was more of an inner peace. Jesus Christ came to give us the inner peace, the peace of mind, the peace in our soul that we're living according to God's laws, and we've been saved, and we're living for the Lord, and we're on our way to heaven, you see. That's really what this was talking about, Jesus being the Prince of Peace. But here he says, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now that's interesting. But you see, he was actually speaking to the Jews here, because the general population of the Jews thought, okay, Jesus is going to be our king. Well, then let's see it. Let's see you kick the Romans out of here, because they're the ones that are infiltrating our nation. The Romans don't belong here. Get them out. Jesus, get you a throne, get you an army, and let's kick him out of here, you see. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He came not to give the Jews peace in their land to kick out the enemy. That wasn't the real enemy. The real enemy was within, you see. Because many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those and the high priest, there was actually corruption within their hearts. That's why he came. I came to bring a sword, and we'll get to some of this later, to cut out the corruption in your hearts. That's what this was all about. That's why Jesus came. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And on my side margin here in the Thompson chain, it says, Christ the Divider. Now, isn't that interesting to have that title? Christ a Divider. But here's another scripture I want to read in Luke to back this one up. In Luke 12 and 51, it says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. So if we look at this just on the surface, it sounds like kind of the opposite. Just on the surface, without really delving into it much, I'm like, Jesus came to divide? Truly he did. It was to divide between the good and the evil. To divide between righteousness and unrighteousness. To divide between right and wrong. That's what Jesus came to do. To set a standard forever. And it's in the Word of God here. We can't change it. We can try, but we really can't change it. But Jesus set a standard of right and wrong. He took the old law, which was a standard in its time, and he actually fulfilled it. He set a higher standard. He, remember what Jesus said, repeated what they did in the old law. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Do you know what that means, literally? You punch me in the eye, I'm going to punch you in the eye. You knock out my tooth, I'm going to knock out your tooth. That's what the old law was founded on. But Jesus, when he came, he actually instituted something that would take that away. He said, you don't need to do that anymore. He said, I came to teach you how to turn the other cheek. You blacken this eye, knock out this tooth. Go ahead, do this side too. Maybe not in that cocky manner. But the point is, to allow God to be the judge. To allow God to decide who is right and who's wrong, you see. Because when we take things in our own hands, we decide what's right and what's wrong. But God is the one that set the standard. Jesus is the one that set the standard, not you and I, you see. So, again, Jesus didn't come to bring peace in the land of the Jews by driving out the Romans. And we'll take this a little step further. Jesus didn't come to be a mediator and the peacemaker between tribal nations and between families. Do you believe that this morning? Jesus didn't come to do that. You see, Jesus came to be the mediator between us and God. You see, that's where Jesus came to work, is on us. God doesn't need changed. God doesn't need fixed. Okay? Do we all understand? Do we agree to that? That God is perfect and holy and just in everything that he does. God is love. So he doesn't need fixed. He doesn't need worked. He doesn't need trimmed up and shaped up. No, God doesn't need that. It's we as the human race. We are the ones that need to work on. All right. That's why Jesus came to be the mediator. All right. And to divide in us the right and the wrong. The righteousness versus unrighteousness. To trim off and cut off what is not pleasing to the Lord, you see. But he didn't come to just be the peacemaker, so to speak, between families or between tribal nations and between the Jews and the Romans. The proof of that is Jesus just died on a cross. He didn't set up a literal kingdom. But he paved the way to prove by his own actions that you can forgive your neighbor that's wronged you. You can forgive your enemies. You can turn the other cheek, because time and time again, you realize when Jesus was being beaten unfairly and unjustly, okay, remember that, He hadn't done anything wrong. And then they started beating on him. Do you realize Jesus, if he would have chose to, he could have turned around and, I believe, grabbed those whips out of their hands and started thrashing and beating them. Do you know Jesus could have done that? But he didn't. Because he was proving that there is power through God to resist the enemy, to resist flesh and self, and to lay it down, to crucify it, to cut it off, allow the sword, the power of the Lord, to cut those things and say, you know what? I'm going to let God fight this battle. And Jesus died on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus did. You realize that's what he's calling us to do? It's a high calling. It is. It's not easy either on the flesh. But I dare say, Jesus drew the line in the sand, so to speak. He said, I'm not willing to be the judge here. God, Father, you are the judge. I'm going to let you take care of this. And he died on the cross, unfairly and unjustly. But to prove, to make a division here between the Jews that decided to crucify an innocent man and let a terrible criminal go free, okay? There was a decision there. There was a division there. You see what I'm saying? Because when we make choices, we're choosing which side we're going to be on. Just like when you walked into that restaurant, you want to sit on the north side or the south side. When we walk into this earth and we start living our life, when we come to the age of accountability, we make a decision. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve myself or sin? You see? You can't do both. The scripture says you cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other. You can't serve both. It's impossible. So it is with God. We can't choose to serve him part of the time over here and then part of the time serve ourselves. There's another scripture in Matthew 12 and 30 that bears this out a little more. It says, he that is not with me is against me. Very simple. If you're not with me, if you're not on my side, then you're against me, is what the Lord is saying. That we're not, Lord help us that there's no confusion here. You're either for the Lord or you're against him. Now I want to dig a little deeper. Because our decisions prove which side we are on. I'll use another analogy. You know, in football, there is, whether it's in high school or college or NFL, doesn't matter. But there are many more players that try out for these positions than what actually make it to the games as starters. I mean, you're talking probably, I don't know the percentages, but let's just use hypothetically maybe 300 try out and only 30 make the team. I'm just picking numbers here. But the point is a very small number actually make the team. But I want us to consider something here for a moment. There are several things that take place that actually divide the men from the boys. You know what I'm saying? There are grueling tests, physical tests that they have to go through, and some mental ones too, but grueling challenges that these guys have to go through all the way, and the coaches are watching, they're taking notes of who is pushing and who's just kind of sitting back going, well, I'll just kind of, this looks like fun, I think I'm going to try this out, you know, well, they don't make it past the first round. But those that truly have a desire and a passion that I'm going to make it, I'm going to force myself, I'm going to use some self-discipline here, I'm going to put in some extra effort here when all I see some of these other guys are just kind of half-hearted and like, no, I'm going all the way. And in the end, guess what? It's those guys that are chosen, the coaches are watching saying, you know what? That's who I want on this team. That's who I want for that position. That's who I want for that position. They've proven themselves that they are worthy and that they're determined. They're not giving up. They push through the aches and the pains and the sometimes some ridicule. You know, other guys kind of making fun of them and like, but they push on through it. And in the end, they're the ones that are the starters. Okay? You know, the same can be related to us in relationship to God. You realize God is looking down upon us and saying, well, how hard are they really trying? How hard are they pushing? Do you realize He's only going to choose those that have fought a good fight to receive the reward of heaven? Those that just kind of half-heartedly go through life and just kind of flippantly decide one day they're going to please the Lord, the other day they're going to please myself, the next day I'm going to please my neighbor, the next day I'm going to please my child, the next day I'm going to please... You see what I'm saying? We'll get to some more scriptures that bear that out here in a moment. But God is looking down, watching, listening, and seeing how we choose every day of which side we're going to be on. There's some more scriptures I want to read here. One is in Matthew 25 and 32. It says, "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." You realize that in the end, that's what God's going to do. He's going to separate us as mankind here on the earth. He's going to separate us, the sheep, from the goats. And if you read through the Old Testament, you'll understand that you don't really want to be called a goat. You want to be called a sheep. Because a sheep will follow their master, will follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, wherever He goes. That's what a sheep does. But a goat cannot be controlled. He has his own little agendas, his own ways up here that, no, I want to go be rambunctious and go climb this and go do that and jump off of this and get myself into trouble and cannot be corralled. You see, that's a goat. And in the end, at the judgment day, God's going to say, He's going to divide between the sheep and the goats and say, you know what? You were a goat. I watched you. And you know what? You were a sheep over here. I watched you too. Enter in to my fold. Enter into heaven. Well, it's like good and evil mix like oil and water. In other words, they don't mix. Good and evil doesn't mix. I want to use another example that happened in history. Remember Martin Luther? Remember what he said? They were trying to get him to recant because he was opposing the state church that was corrupt from within and it was terrible. But you know what Martin Luther said? He said, "I will not recant. Here I stand." He was standing for the Lord. He made a decision of which side he was going to be on. Which side? He chose the Lord's side. You know, you and I throughout life have hundreds, thousands of decisions every day, every week, every year that we decide which side are we on. Remember what Joshua said? "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." And he goes on, and in the end he says, "But as for, you can do what you want. But as for me and my house," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." We're going to be on the Lord's side because the Lord's side is the winning side. Okay? Well, we'll go a little deeper. Matthew 10 and 35. And again, on the surface, these scriptures won't make sense. But bear with me. Matthew 10 and 35 says, "For I am come to set a man at variance." This is Jesus speaking again. "I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now that doesn't sound very appealing, does it? But do you know what he's speaking at again? He's speaking to the spiritual realm. He's not encouraging rebellion here. And he's not encouraging slavery, you know, treating your children like slaves and just, and then that's causing the division. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is again, good versus evil, righteousness versus ungodliness. That's what he's talking about. Because he said eventually there will have to be a decision made as to which side are you going to be on. Not necessarily taking father's side or mother's side or daughter's side or son's side. That's not what we're talking about. He's saying there may be decisions you have to make that will cause others to not understand what you're doing. Because you're making a decision for God. You see? And it goes on here. In 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me. See, this is what he's talking about. He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, what does that mean? What he's saying here is, we're supposed to love our mother. He's not saying not to love them. But he's saying, if you love this earth, this world, your family, the things around you, the comforts of life, all these things, if you love this world, and Jesus actually said that later, if you love this world more than me, you're not worthy of me. You know, that gets pretty close. But let's use some hypothetical examples. It could be that perhaps as you grow up, and maybe you have guardians or parents or someone that are ungodly and they're wicked in their ways or whatever, and they try to force you and persuade you and encourage you to do things that are not good, that are evil, that are against God and His laws. And maybe you're taught and persuaded and encouraged to do those things, that there comes a time in your life, at the age of accountability, and it's different for everyone, but at the age of accountability, you can then make your own decision. I'm not talking about being rebellious here, but in your heart, I'm talking, make a decision for God. Which side do I want to be on? Do I want to please the Lord? Or am I going to please what's around me? I hope you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not encouraging rebellion. That's not the point. Because the scriptures also teach to honor your father and your mother. Okay? But there is a fine balance there. And there comes some times and instances where it takes God and the Holy Spirit to give you divine direction as to what to do. Because there are times where maybe you have these powerful influences to do things that you know are contrary to God's law. Then don't do them. But still give respect and honor to your parents or your guardians or whoever has power and authority over you. Still give them the due respect. All right? The scriptures teach that. There's a balance here. But what this is doing is laying a foundation and a groundwork for that when you get out on your own, guess what? You won't have anyone else telling you what to do. You'll have to choose, as Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. There'll come a time where you'll have to decide on your own, you see. So that behooves us to get close to the Lord now while we're young, seek to please Him, seek to understand His laws and His ways. Then it makes it easier to decide which side we're going to be on. Okay? And truly, that was the case with the Jews. There were some families that were divided because some accepted Jesus as the Messiah and they followed Jesus, and others did not accept Jesus. You see? So thus was the division. And that's what Jesus was talking about. That happened in the literal sense. But you know, it happens in the spiritual sense every day. Because in the end, this is what we have to get a hold of. In the end, we have to give an account to God for what we have done. We can't give an account for anyone else around us. I don't care who it is. It all boils down to what have we done? What have we decided to do with our life, with our passions, with our desires, with self? What have we desire to do? What do we choose to do? Which side do we choose to be on and to stay on? You see? In the end, it's all up to us. And let's read on. Verses 38 and 39. It says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth this life, his life, for my sake, shall find it. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. All these scriptures are leading up to this. You have to make a decision to leave your old life. If the old life is pulling you away from God, and it's got you in some snares and some traps, and it's left you spiritually weak, and it's left you vulnerable, and Satan has taken advantage of you, And he's saying, you have to leave that, cut it off, get rid of that, and follow after me. Because I am, you know, Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the key to get into heaven. See, you can't go any other way. You can be like a goat that's jumping around over here and bouncing over here and doing his own thing over here and over there. But you're not going to make it in the door. You're not going to make it into heaven like that. They try to go some other way, following someone else that encouraged them to do this and do that and do this. But they didn't go back to the Word of God and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see? Which side do you want me to be on, Lord? Sometimes you have to be just open and honest with God and say, Lord, I really don't know what to do. You know, God actually likes to hear that because then He knows that you're teachable. Then He knows that you're willing to listen a little bit. And then the Lord will try to speak to you through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. And then He'll start whispering to you, well, if you stop doing this and start doing that, or if you cut this off and put this on, so to speak, all in the spiritual analogies here. So if you start doing these and just step by step, the Lord will teach us. And the Holy Spirit says, will guide us into all truth. And He'll do that for you individually, you see. Isn't this beautiful? But the awesome thing is it's the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the world over. And in the end, He will lead all people to the same side. That's why we can all agree in the Spirit on things, on what God teaches and how God has dealt with us. It's like, oh, the Lord showed me the same thing. You know, maybe it's a little different way because I'm a unique person. Everyone's a little different, different personalities, different backgrounds. But it all leads us to the same conclusion that God's way is best and not ours. You see, that's on God's side, you see. Well, God wants us to forsake our old ways, the sins, the self. And God wants to go further than that. He wants to penetrate our hearts to the innermost desires and intentions of the heart. That He can cut off the things and prune out the things that are not godly, that are not like Him, that are not pleasing to Him, that are a foul odor to Him, that are in direct opposition to His laws and His truths and His Word, that are actually offensive to Him, and He wants to come in there and do some spiritual surgery, you see? And that's what the Scripture in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, says. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, now get this part, folks, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's close. Because what's the difference between soul and spirit? That means it's really close. That means this is a close walk with God. That means that this sword, the Word of God, the spirit of the sword, can come in and do spiritual surgery on your heart and divide and discern between what's right and wrong and trim out the things that are unchristlike, they're ungodly, all right, and shape and mold something and repair it and restore it to something that's beautiful, that works as it should, you see. That's what the Holy Spirit, what the Word of God wants to do. To divide, not to bring, not to encourage squabbling and fighting and bickering and that type of division. That's not what He's talking about. But to divide the things that are close, of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that is close. And I've said this before, and no doubt you all have heard it too. We can fool people with our words and with our actions even. Do you realize that? We can all fool each other. I want to tell you something. You can't fool God. You can say one thing and do one thing and think that everything is just perfect. Everyone's accepted me. But God is looking at the heart and saying, that's offensive to me. I see what's in your heart. I know why you did what you did. I know why you said what you did. I know why. And God's saying, that's being deceitful. That's being dishonest. That's being unfair. That's being unjust. That's being hateful. You see? That's a seed of bitterness over there because you're holding something against somebody over there. And God sees all the way through the facade, the makeshift, the mask, the things that we put on to pretend like everything's just fine and peachy when really it's not. And even our words can line up with our actions sometimes. Sometimes they may not. But yet God sees all the way through all that. Because he said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's close. But that's how serious God is about maintaining and keeping his kingdom holy. And ultimately, heaven is a holy place, as we know. That those things, they're not going to make it in the gate. It's not going to pass through Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to say, nope, that doesn't come in. That's a goat. I'm not letting that wild thing in here. It's not like me. It hasn't followed me. He won't allow it. You see? Another scripture. Romans 8 and 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, you know what mortify means? It means to cut off, to kill. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It's very simple. Choose which side you want to be on. Do you want to choose life or do you want to choose death? Now it may seem fun. And it may seem innocent. Oh, well, we're just doing this. It's no big deal. And it's okay, you know, and just kind of brushing things over. But really within, something's corrupt. Something's rotten. Because there's some evil down there. There's some sin or there's some wickedness or whatever is underneath the surface. And eventually, you see, it will come out. Eventually. Because something that's rotten inside, eventually works its way out to the outside. And it's all in the open then. But you see, God wants to do some spiritual surgery and cut those things out now. While we have time on this side of eternity, he's like, let me help you out here. Let me help clean those things up. But here's the deal. We have to choose ourselves. Say, oh no, no, Lord, I'm not letting you in. No, no, no. I want to pet that little thing. No, that's my pet, you know. And God's saying, but it's corrupt. It's causing, you're acting like a goat, you see. And God's saying, I got something better for you. To be just a meek little sheep, a little lamb that'll follow me as the good shepherd. He's like, let me do some spiritual surgery to fix that problem, to cut those things out and repair and restore you into something where it's a new, clean and fresh heart. And make a fresh start for me, you see. That's what God wants to do for all of us. That we always choose God's side. Because in the end, when the division is made, ultimately and finally, at the judgment day, I don't want to be on the losing side. I don't want to have to stand before God and say, well, I kind of served you. You know what? Kind of is not going to work. But we can with boldness come before the Lord and say, Lord, I did what I could. I tried as hard as I could. And you know what? God will listen to the words. He'll listen to our side of the story. But you know, he's looking beyond what we're going to tell him. He's going to look back at our life. He's going to look at the path we chose. He's going to look at which side we chose to be on. And he's going to be the one to judge, well, according to your life, you chose to be a goat. But then there's those that chose to live for the Lord and allow him to do that spiritual surgery within and to conform us into his laws. Then he's going to look at us and go, you know what? You did try. You did your best. And you're a sheep. You're gentle and kind in spirit. You've allowed me to lead you and guide you through life. And I love that. You know what? Enter in. You made it. That's what I want to hear in the end. You know what? I don't care. It gets to the point now where I don't care what anyone says, really. That's not a cedar of bet. My point is, I'm more concerned about what God says. What does God say about my heart? Because other people may look on and say, well, you're just, you know, that or this or that. I'm like, you know, the scripture said not to be concerned about pleasing man, but me be more concerned about pleasing God. Be more concerned about choosing which side of evil, which side of good and evil do you want to be on? And in the end, I like the song that says, I'm on the winning side. That's the side I want to be on. Let's all choose to be on the winning side. On the side with Jesus. Let's stand and sing that song. I'm on the winning side. Thank you.